All right. You guys ready to get into the Word of God today? Yeah, tell your neighbor this is going to be good. In faith. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So we're going to start with Genesis chapter 3, okay? And so if you've got a Bible or a device, I'm not going to put this on the screen, this first section. It's going to be verses 1 through 13. So go ahead and grab that, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. All right. Okay. And as you're looking that up, I just want to say this message, when I decided to tackle this, I knew this was going to be a journey. And this week has been full of battle. I knew it would be, and I just knew I'd be in for a battle if I tackled this message, because we're going to jump into something that the devil doesn't want us to know about. So, let's start by prayer before we read the Word of God. Lord, we want to know the truth, Lord, and the truth we know is in the Word of God. So we thank you, Lord, that you've given us the truth that we can live this life in on the big secret, which is Jesus Christ. And Lord, that you've given us your Word so we know what to do, where to go. So we thank you, Lord. Open your Word to us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. Okay, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together, made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And the man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." All right, we're going to stop there. So this morning, I want to talk to you about deception, okay? Now, deception is an act or statement which misleads, hides the truth, or promotes a belief, concept, or idea that is not true, okay? Now, I'm going to discuss for the next few moments cultural deception, and I'm going to touch on several issues in our day that are hot-button issues, and my goal isn't really to dig deeply into these issues today, and my goal is not to make anybody feel guilty, all right? Maybe you've taken part in some of the things I'm going to mention. God is gracious, God is loving, God is forgiving. I, above all people, know all three of those things with the life that I have led in my past that most of you know about. I know all these things very well. And so God loves you very, very much. And if there's something that I talk about that's hard for me, my intent is not to lay guilt today. My intent is to look at deception in our world and how culturally this deception is everywhere. So we want to be wise, okay? Now, I'm going to point out where we as Christian people are sometimes being duped or deceived in our current culture, and it's happening every day at an increasing pace. So I was saved in 1983. I was married in 1985. Now, I remember this clearly, and it would have been unthinkable at that time to suggest that anyone would seriously propose defining marriage as between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. Now, of course, there's been homosexuality, you know, forever. But just thinking that was going to take place just didn't seem like it was even close to happening. So that was a long time ago. But only, 34 years or something like that. And it's hard to believe that in that 30 years or so, that America would have lost its soul so profoundly that most Americans would approve of a definition of marriage that no society in the history of the world has ever embraced. Did you know that? I didn't know that. That no society has embraced legally marriage between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. Not until 1989, Denmark was the first. So though since the dawn of time, no society has sanctioned these unions as legal, if you were one to disagree with this narrative, this seems to put you in a category of a bigot, a hater, and homophobic. So that's deception. It hasn't happened since the beginning of time till just recently. And yet now you're a hater. So that's a deceptive thing that's in our culture. So along with this tragic loss of our moral compass has come the increasing loss of freedoms. And the increasing attitude from the government to force the citizens of the United States to conform to certain unbiblical views. And a big case in point, for the government to actually fund the killing of the unborn in this country. Okay? So, and to go far as the media presenting the popular opinion that to defend the unborn, which, you know, you would think that would be a noble cause. To defend the unborn, because you're defending the helpless. I began to think about this, and I thought, you know, a big buzzword in our world today, and you know, for good reason, is bullying. So, you know, defending the helpless. You know, all of us in this room would say, bullying's terrible. We need to defend the helpless. Well, think about that. How completely helpless are the unborn? So according to the consensus of many people in our day, defending the unborn means intolerance of women and their choices. And as an individual with this belief in defending the unborn, you would be presented in the media as hateful, harmful, horrible for wanting to protect the unborn, and that's deception. Okay? So what are some other forms of deception? And I mean, I could go on and on with this list, okay? So I'm going to take this one, and these are all hot-button issues, all right? This is the, if I can say this, demasculinization. Everybody say that with me. Demasculinization. One more time. Demasculinization. I knew you could do it. Yes, I have to really concentrate when I say that. I mean, from sitcoms that present men as weak, helpless, you know, there's been lots of them. They're funny, you know, I've laughed at them. You know, but it's been like that for quite a while. There's just a few that don't. I ran across a government insurance ad that presented a feminine-looking young 20-somethings man sitting on an ottoman in red soft pajamas, sipping hot cocoa and talking about health insurance. And this is their idea of the average American young male. Now, men are no longer to be masculine, and this is the narrative, okay? I was in a well-known department store just the other day and a while back in Portland. I also remember the same thing happened to me. For just a couple seconds, I thought that I was in the women's department, but I was not. I was in the men's department, and I'm not talking about skinny jeans, okay? Well beyond that. And this is deception in our culture. It's that young men are told at a young age that you don't have to be a man. You can be whatever you want to be. So now we have a culture of young men who don't know who they are or what they're supposed to be. And they don't know that they're formed in the image of God. And that's a lie. Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Okay, these are hot topics that I have mentioned. And they need a lot of discussion. I know that they do, okay? And many of these ideas are under the label of tolerance. You're going to hear that all the time. Tolerance, tolerance. Okay. Now, tolerance is a good word. And yes, we should be tolerant of other people. I'm not saying that at all. Tolerance is good. But when tolerance takes you to behavior or beliefs that are in direct opposition to the Word of God, that's a problem, and that's deception. So let's take a look at something a little more subtle. Women on the cover of magazines or billboards, that they look like $1 million. They got no wrinkles. They're perfect. They're perfect. Just perfect skin. And if you've got perfect skin, God bless you. That's a wonderful thing. Yes, I'll never forget those first wrinkles that showed up. I was like looking in the mirror going, what's going on with my face? You know, and this causes other women to think that they need to look like the person on the billboard, the person on the magazine, and if you use these products and this is what you will look like. I'm not saying that's a terrible thing, it's advertising, but I am saying it's deception. And again, I could go on and on. Where do I even begin with politics? Oh my goodness. Now, any of you that have lived for very long know that politics are always full of deception. Both sides of the aisle, I'm going to say, are always, it seems. They're saying that the other side is engaged in criminal activity. They're imbeciles. They're fools. They're always, you know, these people are always speaking in hyperbole. Everything is... They're the worst, you know. I mean, both sides, you hear it all the time, especially today. You know, I have these Civil War videos, and I learned from these Civil War videos that I've watched at least 100 times. Ken Burns, love him. Even back then, politics was just like it is today, and they were very violent. I mean, people were getting in fights, and it was crazy. So it's always been. They never answer a question directly. Have you ever noticed that? They don't answer questions directly. Matter of fact, They not only don't answer the question, they turn it around to someone on the other side of the aisle. So you never get a direct answer. I could never be a politician. I am too honest and direct. Yes, I wouldn't last a minute. But it's deception. Comparing ourselves to other people, thinking worse of ourselves because maybe we're not as handsome, maybe we're not as pretty, maybe not as talented, that's deception. You know why that's deception? Because the Bible says in Psalm 139 that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I'd like all of us to say that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Here we go. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's you. The Bible says that about you. In Psalm 139, verse 14, deception, it's everywhere. It's all around you. And as long as you are living on this earth, you will encounter deception every day. Okay. Deception works because it makes shame look glorious. It makes ugly look pretty. It makes foolishness look wise and tragic choices look life-giving. And it makes sadness look like gladness. It also does the opposite. It makes the truth of God look like a lie. It tries to make the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ to be the religion of fools. It presents the love of Christ as hate. Deception works, listen to this, because we think we'll be happier if we turn away from Christ and embrace sin. Now, the tragic thing about deception is that once it's conceived, given birth to your mind, given birth to your heart, is you don't know it because you're deceived, okay? So who's actually behind all this deception in our day? Who is the great deceiver? Well, I think we're going to find out when we go back to our text, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now, the serpent, and the serpent is the devil, was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" So Satan is highly intelligent, and he's the embodiment of evil. Think of the worst thing you can possibly think of, and just for a second, please. I've always said this for years, because this is the devil. He's not just some guy standing there with a pitchfork and a long tail. Think of the worst thing, whether it's murder, rape, whatever it is. Think of the worst thing. That's the devil. That's who he is. He's a murderer. He's evil. Did God really say, "Don't eat from any tree," he says? He knew what he was doing. Deception. Verse 13, "Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" So the devil is out to deceive you and me. No one is exempt. The Bible says that he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Nobody's exempt. All of you within the sound of my voice fall under this category. That's the devil. He's the great deceiver, and he's a liar. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2 says, "The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron." The later times, the last days. You know, since Christ lived, died, rose again, we've been in the last days. Jesus Christ could have come back at any time. We're in the last days. I've been studying a bit of Daniel, the prophet, and there's this time that in between that we're in that are called the last days. Now there will be an end to the last days, and there are reasons to believe when you see signs in Israel, signs in our culture that I don't have time to go into, that we could be living in the end of the last days, the last days, okay, before Christ comes back. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, the coming of the lawless one, this is the Antichrist, will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie, that's what Satan does, and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. So you're probably sitting there thinking, well, I don't want to be deceived. What can I do? How can I keep from being deceived? All right, so how many of you are familiar with the original Star Trek? Raise your hands. Okay, so you'll get this. All right. Okay, so I was a big fan of Star Trek back in the day. I just don't watch it anymore. But it used to, you know, it's got drama, it's got humor. It just used to make me crack up. And science fiction had it all. And there were several episodes that have the scenario of there being a deadly disease or something, and that it would take control of you, and it would cause you to act in a strange manner or be very deadly. And Dr. McCoy, also known as Bones, he was always trying to find the antidote. Do you remember this? Yes, the antidote. And so it would kind of go something like this. This would happen on several episodes. Captain Kirk would say something like, "Dr. McCoy, this disease is going to kill the entire planet. Bones, we've got to find an antidote for this disease right now, or millions of people on this planet will die." That's what the way he used to talk. And Dr. McCoy would say a word that starts with D that I'm not going to say today, so I'm going to say bleep instead. And he would say, "Bleep it, Jim. I'm a doctor, not a miracle worker." All right. Some of you have seen it. Either that or I have very bad acting. But that he always found the antidote. Now, I want to give you the antidote for deception today. So the Apostle John gives us the answer, and it's something we can all understand. 2 John 4 through 7. There's only one chapter in 2 John. Says this: "It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady," and dear lady is probably a church, "I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist." Okay, so we are to, this is very simple, love one another and walk in obedience. Simple stuff. And you might think, well, how is that going to keep me from deception? Well, we're going to look at that. I'm going to give you three reasons why loving one another and walking in obedience will keep us free from deception. So the number one, the truth of Christ is real love, okay? So the truth of Christ, the truth of the gospel, the truth of the Word of God is the granite rock foundation on which our love rests. And that's really important because you hear the word love all over the place and that everybody loves everybody. Verse 2 of this same book says, "Whom I love because of the truth." Okay? So if you love Christ with all your heart, you love his word with your very soul, you're going to be led to love others despite their weaknesses or faults. And we've all got them. I hate to say it. We've all got weaknesses and we've all got faults. And you can only do this by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it will be with all those around you who love the truth. And listen to this. Christian love is not mushy. It is solid affection for those who love and share the truth of Christ. People who love each other like this are not going to be easily deceived. Let me show you one thing that it is not. See this device? This device. This is our world, friends. It's my world too, you know. I'm on this thing a lot. But it's not real Christian fellowship. And there's nothing wrong with good social media, okay? I do some social media. I do some Facebook. I do a little Twitter, whatever. But that's not true person-to-person fellowship. Now, my wife works with many teens, and she said that many of them, when you ask who is your best friend or who are your good friends, they'll mention people that they know online. And my wife might say, have you ever met these people? No, I've never met them, but they're online friends. And many of you know Tammy Johnson, who works in the field of mental health and also attends church here with her husband, Ken. And she gave me some information from a book that I thought was actually fascinating. The book is Healing the Embodied Brain in the Context of Relationship, a Norton series on interpersonal neurobiology. That's a very catchy title. By Bonnie Badenoch. All right. I'm going to try to kind of break this down. It's left brain. Our left brain is analytical. Our right brain is creative and relational. So here's a quote from the book. To begin, now stay with me here. We are all in a stew of too much information together, shaping the nature of our encounter with each other, so our interpersonal relationships. We live in a very different world than we did 30 years ago. According to a study by Martin Hilbert and Priscilla Lopez, we are taking in the equivalent of 174 newspapers. Really? Interesting. Worth of information each day, about five times as much in 1986, overwhelming our brain's processing capacity. And it seems we human beings are designed to function. Now, I don't know that. I'm kind of guessing this person's not a Christian. Never met her. I don't know. It seems we human beings are designed to function most humanely when right mode processing, right brain, takes the lead and provides the vision, and the left mode becomes the vital emissary who can provide understanding and build systems to bring the vision of the right into stable form. All right, let's break this down. Essentially, the author is talking about the divided brain, left brain, right brain, and they work together, and how our culture has become increasingly left brain, okay? Largely due to the mass of information we are consuming on a daily basis. So the more left brain centric we are, the less relationally oriented we're going to be. What I'm trying to say is, even using our phones and other tech devices can be a deception. And it deceives us into thinking we're having relationships when we're not. And we're getting so much information that the way that God has designed us, it causes us to be less relational. All right, number two, being a part of a glad, strong Christian community helps keep us from sin. Now, another reason why life together in love protects against deception is in verse 4 that says, I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. So the Apostle John is rejoicing over what he experienced in the lives of other Christians. In other words, living together in love is a happy way to live. Yeah, living together, enjoying one another, person to person, it's a good thing, it's a healthy thing. Such a happy, glad community will not be easily deceived by the thin pleasures of sin, because deception will take you eventually into sin. All right, number three, last one. The love of Christ takes seriously all the commandments of God. And in verse 6 it says, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. So this doesn't mean that Christian love has no affection for people, but it does mean that love has clear direction from God. Christian love is more than affection. So a community of people who love each other like that will not be easily deceived. So for example, and you hear this all the time, guys, you may even be kind of like, well, you know, if it's good for them, okay, great, as long as it doesn't bother me. But I tell you, when the culture tells you that the way to love is to embrace same-sex marriage, then if we are a culture that spends time together and in Christ's love, then we know the truth of the Word of God, and we won't be deceived. It's a hot-button topic, but I'm telling you, if we're not careful, we're going to be deceived in these days. So one last thing, and if the worship team would come up, that'd be great. What is our response to those that we feel are sending a deceptive message? What's our response? Jesus said many things, but two of them when dealing with unbelievers were this. Matthew 10:16 says, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. You need caution and wisdom in this world, friends. Caution and wisdom. And it's in the midst of a world that seeks your very life, that seeks your very soul. Jesus directs them also to be harmless, not to provoke people to anger. Okay? So we're supposed to be wise, cautious in this world, and we're also supposed to be innocent as doves. And then the last scripture, Luke 6:27-28, but to you who are listening, I say, this is Jesus speaking, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Love your enemies. Don't lash out at them, even if you're tempted to do so. Pray for them. Recognize there's a spiritual battle that's raging. This subject I'm talking about today could go on and on. I really mean that. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 that for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So it's not against people that are going to be saying deceptive things, that are angry with you for being a believer in Jesus Christ. Our struggle is not against them, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we need to pray. That's what that's saying. We need to pray, and we need to spur one another on to love and good deeds. So deception, it's all around us. Loving one another and obeying Christ is how we're going to keep from being deceived in these days. You know, we've been talking a lot about this. I think Pastor Tim even mentioned it last week, that it's so important as our, and another deception is our culture kind of says you don't need to go to church. You don't need to be together. That's a lie. Yes, we do. We need each other. We need each other. Yeah, let's clap for that. Yeah. We need each other. You know, I don't always do everything right. And sometimes I need somebody to say, hey, you know, have you thought about this? But if you don't have anybody in your life doing that, you're gonna make mistakes. You're going to get yourself in a place you don't want to be. And you're going to put yourself in a place of possible deception. Okay? We need to love each other. I'm not saying you need to quote the Bible night and day. But what I am saying is that loving one another is being truthful with one another. Yeah, encouraging one another. Praying for one another. It's an awesome thing. The church is incredible. Yeah. It's the answer to recognizing and keeping from being deceived in these last days. And I want to say this, you guys. You know, some of these things I've mentioned, you might have thought, well, I'm just not sure about that. Everything I talked about, I just didn't have time today. Scripture for everything I said today of what the Bible says about these issues. And so let's pray. Lord, I want to pray over every person within the sound of my voice. Lord, you know that the devil likes to put just a little bit of truth into his deceptions, enough truth to turn our heads and to get us to listening a little bit. And Lord, I want to pray for everybody here that we're not deceived in these days, but we know what the Word of God says, and we're with others who are like-minded, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you might be here today, and you might think, well, I've never heard some of these things before. I didn't know that the Bible said that. I didn't know that the Bible steers me clear of some of these things. That might be you today. And you might think, maybe I don't know everything. Maybe there's something going on that I don't know about. Well, if that's you and you'd like to know more about God, then I'd just like you to raise your hand where you are. And you want to know more about God, I just want you to raise your hand if that's you in this place. Amen. Okay. So, Lord, do you want to pray over each person, Lord God, that you will keep us in your word. Keep us, Lord God, with each other. Direct us, guide us, Lord God. So we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.